In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Then verse 13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. A gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Steve.
Thank you very much, Bex and the team. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. You're excited to be in church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Excellent. So, justice as a mission. Let's see what we can talk about there. You know, those passages we had were chosen because they show God's heart. Justice and righteousness are combined together, and we'll talk a bit more about that. John? Okay. Just checking. I play that video just because I wanted to set the tone of what we're talking about today. It really is all about Jesus. It really is all about what we can do for him. That's where my heart is anyway. So before we start, I'd just like to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you gave the very best of heaven down on this earth. You sent your son Jesus to die for us. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you came down here with a mission, with a purpose, and you went to the cross willingly, lovingly for us, and you endured that, and you cried out, it is finished, and that's when life for us began. We now have full authority on this earth in your name, but we also have a direct line into our Father God to call on him, to be with him, to do things for him, for your glory. And we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the song choices we had this morning. You actually had me in tears, but I won't say any more about that. Because defenders of the weak, this is something that as Christians, we have a purpose to do. It's really good. There are many men, and please don't politically correct me, okay? But there are many men in this church, and that's great. We need men. We also need the care and love of women, but we need men to be those defenders. I'll talk a bit more about this. Joe did a fantastic series back in December on justice and outlined different types of justice. So it was really good. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. It was really very well thought out and very well presented. Distributive justice, retributive justice, and restorative justice. I'm going to talk about another form which combines all of these as well. So does God, what's his view on justice? I found a quote which you'll see later. Justice is in the very character of God. It is not a church program. It is right in the heart of God. Isaiah 61, 8 and 9. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. Isaiah 1, 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Isaiah 51, verse 5. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. And my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Micah 6, verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do you get an idea of God's view of justice? Right in the heart. So I better tell you a little bit more about myself, otherwise you'll think, what is this guy on about? And forgive me for wearing the suit. It just reminds me that I'm working. Okay. So I am actually a child lad. I came here in 1970. I went through the schools here. And then I left in 1989 to go and seek my fame and fortune. Well, I went to join the Hong Kong police. And so that's me up there, as you can see, and me being arrested by my own officers in a training exercise. If you want to learn about justice, that I played rugby for the police, that is rough justice. And I also had the pleasure of working on some very big cases, smashing vice dens and things like that. So it gave me a unique perspective. And if anybody is in law enforcement, you understand the very best and the very worst of humanity, often the very worst. Justice is key. I've been involved in the church, just in case you doubt that, and I have led in various ways. There's just pictures of me and the team. They were far better and smarter than me. But it helped me teach me about God's heart for young people and God's heart for justice. And now I work and I train people around the world on human trafficking, which we'll talk about in a minute. But that really, they don't realize it. They invite me as a trainer. But I actually go there on mission. That's my mission. When I go there, I don't preach to them. I do occasionally drop in biblical texts as examples, and I do occasionally pray for them afterwards. But that's, I go with the authority of God. That's my mission. Church is meant to be a happy place. And I'm going to apologize right now. What I'm going to show you is not happy. But it's something you need to know. Because I'll tell you what you can do at the end of it. Okay?
It is the worst manifestation of what people can do to other people.
They would strip naked the girls, they would take their IDs, they would beat them.
M-am dat drept client, am luat-o, am sequestrat-o și am vândut-o la...
So I'm really gonna have to die before I get to go home now.
When he beat me, I go off the floor and I do that.
We give these kids scars for the rest of their life.
And they forced us, the 30 of us, to beat this girl to death.
Convicting 3,000 people around the world every year isn't enough. Freeing 40,000 or so victims a year isn't enough.
I describe it as a slave-like practices, which is being mented on these young, unfortunate children.
24 hours all day, there's no break, there's no, and I was cleaning too and cooking, doing everything.
Poor families have to work altogether. You see that all around the world. But when you exploit them, when you beat them, when you threaten them, we are in trouble.
We get in the first truck and the guy decides he wants me. And I started to just think that maybe I deserve this.
You feel like you're not even a person.
ladies and gentlemen, you know, something has happened in our world. It's gone horribly wrong, and it's sort of crept up on us. It's happened in our generations that are in this church, and we've been blind to it. I think there's a reason why, a spiritual reason, but I'll come to that in a minute. I woke up to this about 5 years ago. I went to a meeting, and one of the speakers was talking about slavery. And I was like, where have I been for the last 50 years? Why haven't I heard about this? He gave an example. He said, up here, it's a low-risk, high-reward criminal activity. One pimp, the guy who controls prostitutes, he can control 10 girls. He can make 3.276 million Canadian dollars in a year, tax-free. Where do you think he lives? The high life. Beautiful apartment, sends his kids to nice schools, travels first class. That is criminals. Controlling 10 women who have no choice. They are trapped in the life that he dictates. It happens here in the UK. Latest estimates, 15,000 slaves here in the UK, probably more. It happens here, very close to us, here in Somerset. Somerset is one of the highest reported figures for slavery in the UK. Did you know that? It could be here in Chard. It could be in Ilminster. It could be in Crewkerne. It could be out in the villages. I'll explain a little more. These are two cases. The first one, a girl was kidnapped off the London streets. She's Romanian. She was taken to Ireland and prostituted. Kidnapped off London streets. This is quite a new story. 2018, you can go and see it. It's on the BBC, as long as you trust what they're saying is correct. Chandra, I know Chandra. She was a very highly intelligent MBA graduate from Indonesia. She applied for a job in New York, working in a hotel. She flew across to New York, got off the plane, thinking she was going to a five-star hotel, straight into prostitution. Smart girl, looking for a good job. So don't think it's for developing countries far, far away. It could be a young person in your life who gets a dream job. Ask them to check. Is it really true? It's the world's fastest growing crime, and it's one of the richest growing crimes. One in four victims are children. About 5 million women and girls, mainly, taken into prostitution. Many more men, mainly, are going into forced labor, fishing, agriculture, construction. It's happening everywhere. It's also one of the world's richest crimes, below drug trafficking and counterfeiting and arms dealing. No one knows this. I've been to many conferences. I say, what are the priorities in the world? Drugs. What else? Terrorism. Arms dealing. No one ever says human trafficking. But these figures are from the OECD. You've got to expect that they've got it right. I chose this verse. This is my verse. I'll share it with you. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. I'm afraid, I have to admit to you, I'm not a very nice Christian. I'm one of the ones who is used by God, and he gave me this mission, and I'll show you in a minute, to actually use my skills and talents, perhaps not in the conventional way. I loved last week's talk by our friends. I thought it was brilliant. I was cheering at the end, because I love to see their passion for God, that they took out many risks, and yet they could see the fruits. They could see the fruits around them, and they could see the fruits in their own family, their two delightful children singing for us here. And that's, a lot of mission is often talked about, that kind of evangelical mission, and fantastic. But the mission that I've been given is slightly different.
Thank you. Slavery is closer than you think. Help free the UK from modern slavery. Call the helpline or visit the website.
That video always fools everybody. Everybody always thinks the first three scenarios are far, far away. But actually, they're in the high street. You know, one of the great privileges of being called into this area is I get to meet a lot of other passionate people as well. And they are the real rock stars. They're my superheroes. They're passionate for God, but they're also passionate for justice. One of the good ones near here is up in Bristol, Unseen, run by Andrew Wallace. He is a very passionate man at fighting human trafficking. And he runs the modern slavery hotline or helpline that you can report to. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Why have we been blinded to this? I think there's a reason, and it's spiritual. If you go all the way back to Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." That was God's purpose for us, the pinnacle of his creation. And now, we treat human beings as disposable commodities. When we don't need them anymore, we throw them away. A girl is so diseased and broken from being a prostitute, she's just dumped. A guy is broken from the physical labor, constructing or fishing, he's just thrown over the side of the boat. This happens everywhere. It happens in good countries. It's happening in the Irish Sea. We've been blind to it. And Christians are key in this fight. We're not the first. These are the gentlemen that broke old traditional slavery back in the 1700s-1800s. They're all Christians. Thomas Clarkson, William Wilberforce, my hero over here. They dedicated their life using their skills and talents and networks to show how serious is this issue and get Parliament to change the laws. William Wilberforce was an MP for Hull. It took him his whole lifetime to get that change. But what a fantastic thing he did with his life, his purpose. Thomas Clarkson went out to the West Indies and interviewed slaves to find out more about how it all happened. Both incredibly brave men, and there were 10 other men, Christians, who became the core group to fight this. Did they face adversity? Absolutely. Were they rich? No. But what a legacy for God, working in God's service.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first Savior has ransomed me.
Amazing song. We're going to sing it in a minute, right? I was just, as I was watching that, just thinking, well, there's hope for me if there's hope for John Newton, eh? What a powerful song. This song is a very spiritual song. And whenever we sing it at slave events or slavery events, it always promotes a very powerful response. It also provokes a very powerful response in children's churches. And Becky and I had a privilege of running a children's church in Hong Kong. And we would always ask the children, always wanted to sing this song every week. And you know, there was 40 of them. We used to have to stop the adult service because they would sing with such power. Brilliant. Anyway, I'm coming towards the end. I just want to explain how we're going to fight slavery, well, the mission that God's given me. And it came from 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, and I was trying to recall how God brought this to my attention, and I can't. It just happened. He said, "Steve, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." But if we agree that slavery is evil, then as a good gardener, if you want to get rid of a stubborn weed, you have to pull out the root. And the root is money. So the mission that I've been given is to actually go after the money from slavery. And I work with banks and I work with governments to help them identify that. When I first went on this path, everybody, including my Christian friends, said I was mad, completely mad. Fair enough. But I went to a conference in Hong Kong, this one, and I'll tell you what happened afterwards.
The Justice Conference as a global movement has quickly become one of the most significant gatherings on biblical justice. This year, the conference is running in 7 major cities around the world, and we get the privilege once again to host the conference for the 4th year in a row here in Hong Kong.
I'm standing here on site at the Vine Center in Wan Chai, the heart of Hong Kong, where we will gather for the 4th annual Justice Conference Asia. Over 2 days from May 13th to 14th, we hope to inspire and mobilize people from the Asia-Pacific region to come to the conference to encounter God, each other, and issues of biblical justice.
One of the really beautiful things about the conference is how it really transcends unhelpful titles like left or right, conservative or progressive, and actually gathers the whole body of Christ under God's heart for justice. Which is why I think this year's conference theme is so important. Live justice together.
I'm faced with trying to bring enemies together and trying to get people who hate each other to love each other.
Justice was not a program of God. It's the very character of God.
I was invited to be a speaker there. Do you know Danielle Strickland from the Salvation Army? She's amazing. So she was on a panel on slavery. They had another guy called Matt Friedman, who's very well known around the world. They had a slot. Obviously, they couldn't find anybody who was half decent as a speaker, so they put me in. It was the last session of the last afternoon. I told my lovely wife, "Don't worry, I'll speak. We'll go for a cup of tea because no one's going to want to speak to me." You know, we're two rock stars of the world. Danielle spoke brilliantly, very passionately, and if you get a chance to hear her speak, she's amazing. Matt Friedman also as well. And I spoke about going after the root, and I showed them exactly what I've shown you, perhaps a bit longer. I stood up because they said the speakers would be available for questions, and I thought, yeah, right, you know, Daniel here, Matt here, I'll just sit on the end over here. God showed me that my mission wasn't dumb or I wasn't mad. How did he show me? I had a cue. My cue for Danielle was 20 people, Matt was 20 people, I had 100 people that stretched out the door. I even asked them, I said, are you in the right queue? You know, Danielle, Matt. I said, no, we want to speak to you. And God told me, he said, this is why you are on this mission. It took me an hour to get to the people at the back, but they patiently waited into the evening. And that's when I realized that I should stop moaning. If God gives you a mission, get on with it. Be confident. And from that day forward, that's what I've been doing. I don't know if anything I've said this morning has resonated with you. If you're up for the fight. We often talk about spiritual battles, good and evil, and so on, but we tend to forget about it with the wares and worries of the world. But I believe we really are in a fight. I believe God commands us to fight. Not like this, but by using who we are, how we've been created, the skills, the passion, the networks. How can we do more for him? Last night, it's funny, when you start to prepare for something, God sort of reminds you. I was listening to some preaching, and it was on justice. Didn't choose it, it just popped up on YouTube. This morning, I was preparing for this, read through a verse, and it said, if we fail to burn in the presence of cruelty and injustice, it is because the higher faculties of the soul have become atrophied by sin. If wood does not burn, it is because it is green or rotten. If hearts do not burn with holy fire against wicked men and their wicked deeds, it's because the heart is too underdeveloped. Many of us are lukewarm in the presence of evils, which are colossal. Some of us are indifferent. Indifference to wrongdoing is always a sign that we need to do more. How can you help? Well, there's a justice conference coming in the UK in February in Wembley. If you're interested in justice as a form of mission, I would strongly recommend to go to that. I hope we'll be going. It's where you get Christians from all different varieties, shapes, forms, speaking at all different types of justice. But if your heart is stirred up today by God, to do more, to stand up for the oppressed, to stand up for the weak, then this may be for you. The churches here in Chard, this is one of their key things this year. So I had the pleasure of speaking at St. Mary's a few weeks ago. And I know Reverend Anne there is very on fire for this. But they have this three evenings here in the Guild Hall, and those are the dates. So again, if you're interested in this topic, please come along. You'll meet with other people who are passionate to do more. The church has taken leadership here in the UK, developing an app against hand car washers, often using people from Eastern Europe to wash your car, a very great source of slavery. So this app went live a few months ago. They've already had 900 reports of suspicious car washes across the UK. This information doesn't go to the church leaders and just they go and bless them. It goes to the government authorities, and they look at it and go and take action. Amazing. The church in action. Fantastic. I'm also in contact with the Vatican. The Pope is very passionate about slavery. He's actually formed a team on it, and we're working with them on something else linked to slavery. As I mentioned, Unseen, they run a resource center and helpline. Here's the number over here. If you have any suspicion that something might be wrong with a farm, with a nail shop, with a car wash, something doesn't look right, then you can report it. That's all they need you to do. You don't have to be a witness in court. You don't have to go and give a long statement. Just report your suspicions, and they will take it from there. The number of increase in the number of reports has been like this, as people become more aware. It's really making a difference now. This is my final slide. It's what I like to leave people with. It's a quote of my hero, William Wilberforce. "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you did not know." May I end on this final note of saying, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know. Slavery, ladies and gentlemen, church, is a real issue. A real issue. It's something on God's heart. It's something that we have to take action for. And that's why it's been my pleasure to speak about justice as a mission. If this is something that resonates in you, then please come and have a chat. I know it's one of the things that God cares deeply about. And I encourage you to walk forward. One thing I find a lot of Christians say is, "Oh, Steve, I haven't heard from him, or I haven't, you know, I'm not sure of my purpose." I would encourage you, if you don't know your purpose in Christ today, then please come and join the prayer team at the end of the service. They will help pray with you to find your purpose. Because Christianity is all about purpose, purpose with God. It makes your life come alive. So on that note, thank you very much. God bless you. And I'll hand back to Bex.